Okay, reading from the Jiva Dharma, chapter 12, Nitya Dharma, Sadhana, and Sadhya. Om Jnana Timurangasya Gananjana Shalakaya Daksura Murtam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dagati Sapagantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyastha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasa De Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Jiva Dharma, and we're just continuing the story. And it's so systematically constructed, the book. Again, the story is people coming to, just like in the Back to Godhead, they have the column, How I Came to Krishna Consciousness. This is a novel, How I Came to Krishna Consciousness, by various people, the generation after Lord Chaitanya. And again, according to who comes, there's a different tattva or subject that's required for their understanding, for them to have the faith to move forward in Krishna consciousness. And as we're following the lives of various people to come to Krishna consciousness, who require various subjects of Krishna consciousness to move forward, we're systematically systematically learning the various tattvas or subjects of Krishna consciousness, all based on Nitya Dharma. And Nitya Dharma means, what is your, Nitya means eternal, or every day without end, what is your duty? Now, we have many duties, but they'll end. As our body changes, as our circumstance changes, as the things we do change. But there's one duty that never ends, because it's based on our eternal identity, our eternal constitution. The thing about us that never changes is that we're parts of Krishna and we're meant for his service. So Krishna consciousness is therefore discussed in relationship to our Nitya Dharma, which is to serve Krishna. So this chapter is about Nitya Dharma, sadhana, and sadhya. Sadhana is the practice, and sadhya is the goal. The practice is based on the goal. The goal of Krishna consciousness is bhava. The goal in Krishna consciousness is to awaken within the heart true emotion towards Krishna. Emotion means the heart is soft and it's moved out of love. Your heart is moved when you see the deities. Your heart is moved when you see the devotees. That's the goal. You have legitimate devotion. I think I heard Henry on the class today, and I was at his house so many years ago. We had the 20th anniversary of Bana Bihari. Her Grace Jamuna Devi Grace Dinatarani was staying in Henry's house. And then the 20th anniversary, and I was fortunate to actually stay in the house for a few days when Jamuna was there. I remember one morning I gave a class on Sadh Goswami Astakam. And she was so humble and kind that I can't measure her advancement, but she was so calm. She would listen to the class. And then after the class, we have kirtan. And I remember her just whirling, you know, around very, very slowly as she was relishing the holy name. And, then there was a story I told. I was speaking on the last verse of Sadh Goswami Astakam, which is, Hey Radhe Vraja Devate Chalalite. One second, one more thing. I was talking on the last verse, Hey Radhe Vraja Devate Chalalite, Hey Nanda. And then she began to speak. And she told a story about this verse, how Prabhupada, to pacify Malati's young daughter, Saraswati, who was 5 years old, who was gifted a silver Krishna deity by a life member, and it was too risky to have the young child worship it. It could easily be stolen. Parents replaced it with a brass one, and she was very, very upset. And they took her to Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked her why she was so upset, because she wants her Krishna. And then Prabhupada, the pacifier, said, that's very good, because the greatest devotees, they also have that mood. We want Krishna. And then Prabhupada began to explain this story, this song, Hey Rod, Hey Vraja Devake, Shalali Day. And Jamuna said when her and Malati and Gurudas and Shyam Sundar, when they were watching through the door, Prabhupada teaching this young girl, then Jamuna said the hairs on the back of her neck were standing on end. And that's a symptom of Baba. And then I remember that Tamal Krishnamurti told me that Prabhupada told him that Jamuna would experience Baba. So that actually confirmed it to me, her own story. So that's the goal. And sadhana means the practice that awakens that feeling. How to use your senses to achieve that. So now we'll read about someone learning about sadhana and sadhya, but there's always a story, so we'll read it. Sri Navadvip Mandal is supreme among all holy places of the world. Like Sri Vrindavan, has a circumference of 32 square miles, and it is shaped like an 8-petal lotus flower. The center of that lotus is Sri Antadvip, the core of which is Sri Mayapur. To the north of Sri Mayapur is Sri Samantadvip, where a temple of Sri Sri Samantini Devi is situated. So I know where these places are. That's where the Jagannath deities are. Those who've been to Mayapur, it's Jagannath Puri at Mayapur. And to the north of this temple is the village of Bilva Pushkarini, and the south lies Brahmana Pushkarini. That area, which is located in the northern section of Sri Navadvip, is commonly referred to as Simulia. At the time of Sri Mahaprabhu, Simulia was the residence of many learned pandits. The father of Sachi Devi, Sri Nilambar Chakravarti Mahasai, and also lives in this village. Now, not far from where Nilambar Chakravarti's house still stood, lived a Vedic Brahmin named Vrajanath Bhattacharya. Vrajanath had been brilliant from his childhood. So now this story is going to be about this person, Vrajanath. They're just saying where he lived. There were pandits in this area. and this brilliant pandit named Vrijanath lived there. He had studied in the Sanskrit school in Bilva Pushkamini, and he became such a superior scholar of the science of logic, Nyaya Shastra, that his ingenious and innovative arguments embarrassed and intimidated all the renowned scholars of Bilva Pushkarini, Brahmana Pushkarini, Mayapur, Godra, Madhyadweep, Amragat, Samudhagar, Kulia, Puvastali, and others. So he was just a genius. Whenever there's a gathering of pundits, Vrijanath Naya Panchanaya, I guess that's his title, would set the assembly ablaze with a barrage of unprecedented arguments. Among those pundits was a cruel-hearted logician named Nayaka Chudamani, who was deeply mortified by the wounds he had received from the sharp blows of Vrijanath's logic. They had debate, and this one person, kind of a cruel-hearted person, he was just mortified that I'll say it in my local vernacular, that Vrijanath wiped the floor with him. This logician resolved to kill Vrijanath, Nyaya Panchanana. Nyaya Panchanana, using the occult knowledge described in the Tantra Shastras, by which one can invoke another's death through mystical incantations. In India, this still can happen. Someone can actually put a tantric curse on you. To this end, he moved into the cremation ground in Rudradweep and began to utter death mantras day and night. So there's subtle science called Tantra, where by sound, the various incantations, you can harm someone. See, he really became envious of this Vrijanath Nyaya Panchanana. So he's in the crematorium and he was on a Vasya, the night of the new moon, and dense darkness pervaded all the four directions. At midnight, Nayaka Chudamani sat in the middle of the cremation ground and called out to his worshipful deity, "O Mother, you are the only worshipable deity in this Kali Yuga. I've heard you become pleased by the recitation of a few mantras. You easily bestow benediction upon your worshippers. O goddess with a terrifying face, this servant of yours has undergone tremendous hardship reciting your mantras for many days. Please be merciful upon me just once. O Mother, although I am plagued with many faults, you are still my mother. Please excuse all my faults and appear before me." In this way, repeatedly calling out with cries of distress, Nyaya Chudamani offered oblations into the fire while uttering a mantra in the name of Vrijanath Nyaya Panchanana. So he's calling the name of the person he wants to harm. How astonishing was the power of that mantra. The sky immediately became overcast with a mass of dense dark clouds. A fierce wind began to blow and deafening peals of thunder roared. Hideous ghosts and evil spirits can be seen in the intermittent flashes of lightning. With the help of the sacrificial wine, Chudamani summoned all his energy and called out, "O Mother, please do not delay another moment." Just then, an oracle from the heavens replied, "Do not worry." His wish is being fulfilled. Vrijanath Nyaya Panchanana will not discuss the Nyaya Shastra for long. Within a few days, you will give up debating and remain silent. You will no longer be your rival. Be peaceful and return home. So actually, it's the curse, which is the benediction. Because what will stop his Nyaya Shastra debating is that he'll meet the Vaishnavas and understand how useless it is to do so. In fact, one principle of Vaishnavism is not to unnecessarily argue. It's so based on false ego that we so much don't want, we so much want to be superior, and we so much don't want to be inferior, that we can't stand if someone defeats us in argument, or someone proves that we're wrong. You're wrong. We can't stand it. So when you actually become a Vaishnav, you never argue on the basis of false ego, and never defend yourself on the basis of false ego. On the basis of devotion, you may argue, but it's to defend your guru, your line of teachers, to defend your worshipable Lord, but never to defend yourself. Therefore, when people wanted to argue with Sanat and go, he did sign a paper, you defeated me. He couldn't care less. Vajranath had become a Dig Vijay Pandit who had conquered all four directions through scholarship at the age of 21. So Dig means direction, and Vijay means to conquer. So he was known as the conqueror of all the directions. Basically, he was the heavyweight champion of debating. Day and night, he studied the books of the famous logician, Sri Gangesho Padhyaya, who initiated a new system of logic known as Navyanaya. Vajranath had found many faults in Raghunath Shramani's Duditi, which was a celebrated commentary on Gangesho Padhyaya's Tattva Chintamani, and he began to write his own commentary. Although he never thought of material enjoyment, the word paramartha, spiritual reality, never so much as entered his ears. His single focus in life was to initiate logical debates using the concept and terminology of Naya, such as avicheda, the property of an object by which it is distinguished from everything else, vyavicheda, exclusion of one object from another. Anyway, these are all different types of logic. While sleeping, dreaming, eating, and moving about, his heart was filled with thoughts about the nature of objects, the nature of time, and the peculiarities of aqueous and terrestrial properties. One evening, Vajranath was sitting on the bank of the Ganga, contemplating the 16 categories propounded by Gautama in his system of logic, when a new student of the Nyaya Shastra approached him. And he said, Vajranath, said the student, have you heard Nimai Pandit's logical refutation of the atomic theory of creation? So when before Lord Chaitanya became Lord Chaitanya, he was Nimai Pandit, a young scholar. He was also a great logician. Vajranath roared like a lion. Who is Nimai Pandit? Are you speaking about the son of Jagannath Misra? Tell me about his logical arguments. The student said, a great person named Nimai Pandit lived in Navadvipa just a short time ago. He composed many innovative logical arguments related to the Nyaya Shastra, and thus embarrassed Kanai Bhatta Shiromani. During his time, there was no scholar equal to him in the mastery of Nyaya Shastra. Nyaya means logic. Yet even though he was so adept in Nyaya Shastra, he considered it quite insignificant. Indeed, he regarded not only the Nyaya Shastra, but the entire material world as trifling. He therefore adopted the life of a wandering mendicant in the renounced order. I happened to give the class from my mother's house. I'm visiting her, so she just came in to tell me whatever news. So excuse me. Anyway, we'll get into the philosophy. I hope this is can be followed just by me, my reading, but you kind of get the idea that this Vrijnath, who's this great scholar, this new student approaches him and tells him about Nimai Pandit, how he was the greatest logician, but he couldn't care less. He didn't think it was very important, or that he, and therefore he adopted the life of a wandering mendicant, the renounced order, and traveled from place to place propagating the holy name. Present day Vaishnavas accept him as the supreme person, and they worship him with the Gauri mantra. Vrijnath, you must look into his dialectical arguments at once. So remember, Vrijnath got cursed that all his debate would be finished. So then somehow a student comes and just tells him about Nimai Pandit, and that you should look into, you know, what he said, how great he was. After hearing such praise of Nimai Pandit, which is Lord Chaitanya's logical reason, Vrijnath became quite curious to hear his arguments. With difficulty, he was able to collect a few of those arguments from various sources. Human nature is such that when one develops faith in a particular subject, you will naturally feel regard for the teachers of that subject. However, for various reasons, common people do not easily develop faith in exalted persons who are still living, whereas they tend to develop great faith in the activities of Mahajans who've passed away. So Vrijnath developed faith in Nimai Pandit. So it's interesting. We generally don't develop faith in people who are living, but we develop. So Lord Chaitanya, this is the generation after Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya had already passed away. So this Vrijnath, he began to study Lord Chaitanya's logical thesis, and he started to develop great faith in him. Vrijnath would say, "O Nimai Pandit, if I had been born during your time, there's no telling how much I could have learned from you. O Nimai Pandit, kindly enter my heart just once. You are truly the supreme Brahman. For otherwise, how could such extraordinary logical arguments come from your mind? You are undoubtedly Gauri. You have destroyed the darkness of ignorance created by such remarkable arguments. The darkness of ignorance is black, but you have removed it by becoming Gaura, fair complexion. You are Hari, because you can steal the mind of the entire world. You have stolen away my heart with the ingenuity of your logic." So somehow he began to study the works of Lord Chaitanya before he became a sannyasi, when he was a Sanskrit teacher. And somehow or other, he became very impressed, because it was the most brilliant logical exposition, and that became his hero. Repeatedly speaking this way, Vrijnath became somewhat frantic. He called out loudly, "O Nimai Pandit, O Gauri," Lord Chaitanya's names, "please be merciful to me. When will I be able to create logical arguments like yours? If you are merciful to me, there is no telling how great a scholar of Naya Shastra I can become." Vrijnath thought to himself, "It seems to me that those who worship Gauri must be attracted to Nimai Pandit's scholarship in Nyaya just as I, so I should go there and see whether they have any books he has composed on Nyaya or logic." So this way, Vrijnath develops a desire to associate with the devotees, because he thinks he could, they must be great logicians. By chanting and uttering the names of Bhagavan, such as Nimai Pandit and Gauri, he's calling Lord Chaitanya's name and desiring to associate with the devotees. he earned tremendous sukriti. It's called agyata sukriti, without knowing, by becoming attached to Lord Chaitanya, without cognizance of really what that means, and by chanting his name, then he develops sukriti. And that's basically what happens. No one can come to Krishna consciousness without some previous connection to it. So now we're seeing how that connection is being developed. Somehow or other, it's just mercy. By God's mercy, one is developing. He's just developing. And when we teach Krishna consciousness and we chant the holy name, when we interact with people, we can't tell how much sukriti they develop. Even my mother here, just because I'm her son, she has so much appreciation for the devotees and speaks highly of me and has somehow or other. It's just amazing that she has Krishna in her life without being actually intellectually convinced of it. So how much sukriti is that? There's jnana sukriti when you study and you respect shastra and etc. And in your previous life, so someone will wake up and be very interested in philosophy and have a philosophical mind. And this karma sukriti, you do pious deeds and in the next life you'll be pious and you know good things will come to you. But the most important thing is bhakti sukriti. There is a credit for devotion, and there impressions your heart in devotion. And when I say come to Krishna consciousness, it really means to have that faith in pure devotional service, to actually want to please God and want to come to that point and practice Krishna consciousness in a way that we become pure, not that we're aiming for something material. So to come to that point, and especially in the Bhakti Center, I can see it's so broad, the presentation of spiritual life, and people feel so comfortable with associating the devotees, because it's not, coming to the Bhakti Center is not being confronted with conversion experience. We know with the devotees that are presenting it. They're just offering spiritual life and different subjects as people come. So it's very, very broad, and so many people are, and I'm connected with so many people, but you could actually see people have different levels of sukriti. And when they come to Krishna consciousness, they begin where they left off, a certain level of dedication. Thinking like this, Vrajanath developed a desire to associate with those devotees. One day, while Vrajanath was taking a meal with his father's mother, he asked, "Grandmother, do you ever hear of Gauri?" On hearing the name of Sri Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, Vrajanath's grandmother nostalgically remembered her childhood and said, "Ah, what an enchanting form he had. Alas, will I ever below his beautiful, sweet form again? Can anyone who has seen that captivating form ever engage her mind in domestic affairs again?" Because it was the generation after Lord Chaitanya, his grandmother, who lived in Navadvipa, saw Lord Chaitanya, and she was just, how attractive that is. When he performed Harinam Kirtan, absorbed in ecstatic trance, the birds, beasts, trees, and creepers of Navadvipa would completely lose consciousness of the external world due to intoxication of praying. When Sukadeva Goswami left home, and Vyasadeva, he went to the forest and was calling, "My son, my son." He heard the echo of the trees. It was described that the trees were crying in separation. So she was saying how powerful, it's a fact that when one has a purified mind, he has an influence on his environment. And if one becomes completely free from material desires and completely free from the desire to harm others, his mind has an effect that really influences others. Even now, when I contemplate these thoughts, an incessant flow of tears stream uncontrollably from my eyes and breast and soaks my breast. But you're not inquired further. You recall any pastimes that he performed? Grandmother replied, I certainly do. My son, when Gauranga would visit the house of his maternal uncle with Mother Sachi, the elder ladies in our house fed him spinach and rice. He would praise the spinach, the sock, very highly, he ate with great praying. At that present moment, Brajanath's own mother placed some shock on his plate. Seeing it and appreciating the serendipity of the moment, Brajanath became overjoyed. This is the beloved shock of the logician, Nimai Pandit, he said, and ate it with the utmost reverence. Although Brajanath was completely lacking in transcendental knowledge of absolute reality, he became extremely attracted to Nimai's brilliant scholarship. So even the Bhagavatam, it has so many subjects, even calculation of time from the atom, and so many different subjects. And when it has so many different subjects, it's to attract various types of people. The Bhagavatam is meant to attract all types of people, but because it's in relationship to Krishna, it develops some scars, some appreciation of Krishna within their consciousness. Even the name of Nimai became a delight to his ears. When Mendik came to beg alms, uttering Jai Sachinandana, which is Lord Chaitanya's name, the mother of Mother Sachi, his mother, he received them warmly and fed them. He would sometimes go to Mayapur and hear the Babaji's chanting the names of Gauranga. And he would ask them many questions about Gauranga's triumphant activities in the field of scholarship and learning. After a few months of these activities, Brajanath was no longer his former self. Previously, Nimai's name had pleased him only in connection with his scholarship in Nyaya. But now Nimai pleased him in all respects. Isn't this an amazing story that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling? Those of you that have followed me faithfully on Jivadharma, and now those of you who join this, it's really going to get interesting. Because this Rajanath is going to become a devotee, and we're going to follow how his gurus train him in Krishna consciousness, in terms of the Abhideya Tattva, the means of the science of bhakti. It's a great treatise now on the science of bhakti. Brajanath lost all interest in studying and teaching Nyaya and no longer had any taste for dry arguments and debate. Nimai, the logician, no longer had any standing in the kingdom of his heart, for Nimai, the devotee, had usurped all authority. So that's what happens to people. I see that. People become attracted. If you approach bhakti in an innocent way without an offense, so much can come in your heart. Brajanath's heart would begin to dance when he heard the sound of Madanga and kartals, and he would offer pranam with his mind whenever he saw pure devotees. He displayed great devotion towards Sri Navadvip, respecting it as the birthplace of Sri Gauranga Dev. When rival pandits saw that Brajanath, who is Nyaya Panchana, had become soft-hearted, they were very pleased in his condition. Now they can openly step out of their houses without fear. Nyaya Kapandita, that's the one who cursed him, thought that his worshipful deity had rendered Brajanath inactive and there was no longer any need to be afraid. So he was so aggressive and had such ego. And now he lost that desire. And that's what should happen in bhakti. That when you actually become attracted to Krishna, your prime motive in life is serving him, not establishing your position in the world. One day while Vrajanath was sitting in a secluded place on the bank of the Bhagirathi, he thought to himself, if such a profound scholar of Naya Shastra's Nimai could renounce logic and adopt the path of bhakti, what fault would there be if I should do the same? While I was obsessed with Nyaya, I could not apply myself to the cultivation of bhakti, nor could I bear to hear the names of Nimai. In those days, I was so immersed in the Nyaya Shastra that I could not even find time to eat, drink, or sleep. Now I see things in quite the opposite way. I no longer contemplate the topics of Naya Shastra. Instead, I always remember the name of Gauranga. Still, even though the ecstatic devotional dancing of the Vaishnavas captivate my mind, I'm still the son of a Vedic Brahmin. I was born in a prestigious family, and I'm highly respected in society. Although I truly believe that the behavior and conduct of the Vaishnava is excellent, it is inappropriate for me to adopt their ways outwardly. So he becomes attracted, but to the internal thing. And he doesn't see that it's appropriate for him to adopt the external thing. Because at that time, perhaps it wasn't so respected. There are many Vaishnavas in Sri Mayapur at Kola Bunga Dunga. Chankazi broke the Madunga to stop the Sankirtan. And at Vairagi Dunga, the place of Vaishnava asceticism. So, Dundabunga, Kola Bunga Dunga, at Sri Vasanga, the house of Sri Vas Thakur. So after you passed away, that place is revered and many Vaishnavas assemble there. So he used to go there. But among those devotees, Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasai is the one who completely captivates my mind. When I see him, my heart is filled with Shraddha. I would like to be by his side continuously and learn the Bhakti Shastri from him. So that's the effect of advanced devotees. They embody certain principles that when you, it's interesting. We may hear things philosophically, but as I mentioned before, even something like surrender and humility. I remember in my class on Nectar Devotion, one person commented, Satari, who's a bit of a scholar himself in the Sikh tradition. He said that, you know, words are pregnant with history. So because words are pregnant with history, even though we hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we hear surrender and humility, they may not be attractive to us. But when we see those, that's why we have to see these principles, not just intellectually, but we have to see them embodied in a devotee. And then, oh, surrender, humility, it's just such an attractive thing. So now he's associating with the devotees and he's seeing, well, they may have had some prejudice before towards bhakti, he's seeing what it looks like when it's embodied, and it's giving him shraddha or faith. Faith that in this, I should do this. This should be the goal of my life. This is such a wonderful thing. It's said in the Vedas, he continues, Atmava ari drashtavya shrotavya mantavya nidhyashitavya. This is very famous. Brihat Aranyaka Upanishads. One should see, hear about, think of and meditate on the Supreme Absolute Truth. In this mantra, the word mantavya means to be thought of, to be considered or examined, to be admitted or assumed, to be approved or sanctioned. This is a famous verse from the Upanishads of how one gets realization. You hear about something, and you think about it, then you meditate it, then you apply it, then you realize it. Well, this verse suggests that one should acquire Brahma-jnana by studying the Naya Shastra. The word shrotavya, to be heard or learned from a teacher, implies the necessity for something greater. So far, I have spent much of my time in useless argument and debate, Now I long to dedicate myself to the feet of Sri Gohari. Therefore, most beneficial for me to go after Sensat and take darshan of Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasai. So the bhakti is the most attractive thing. And you may be cultivating so many things, but with an innocent heart. You see, he was just approaching to learn logic. And with an innocent heart, if your heart opens up to the association of pure devotees, then you can get the bhakti lata deej. Amanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai. Wandering from universe to universe, species to species, species of life. By mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the bhakti lata deej. Vajranath set out for Mayapur at the close of day. The sun was setting, but its crimson rays were still dancing among the treetops. A gentle breeze blew from the south. Birds were flying. The first few stars were appearing. And Vajranath approaches Srivasangam. The Vaishnavas would be giving Sunya Arkik and worship of Bhagavan, chanting and singing with his sweet voices. So he's approaching this place and he's hearing Ki Bajayo Jaya Goran Sande Aroki Kesoba Jai Navita Tavani Jagamanaloba. Vajranath took his seat on a platform beneath a bakul tree. His heart melted as he heard the artik of Gohari, and when it ended, the Vaishnavs joined him on the platform. So he's coming, and he hears the artik, and it's sung by pure devotees. And what does it mean? It means that love is coming from their heart. And therefore, by hearing their kirtan, without offense, love's entering into his heart. And it's such an incredible experience that he gets faith that this is what I want to achieve. At the time, the elderly Raghunath Babaji Mahasai came and took a seat on the platform and he began to chant, Jai Sachi Nandana Jai Nityananda Jai Rupa Sanata Jai Das Goswami. As he did so, every one rose and offered him Dandavat Pranam. And Vajranath appeared to do the same. When the aged Babaji Maharaj saw the extraordinary beauty of Vajranath's face, he embraced him and requested him to sit by his side. Where are you? Who are you, my son? Vajranath replied, I am the one who is thirsty for the truth and I long to receive some benediction for you. A Vaishnav seated nearby recognized Vajranath and said, his name is Vajranath. Nyaya Panchanana. There is no scholar of Nyaya equal to him in all of Navadvip, but now he has developed some faith in Sachinandana. Hearing of Vajranath's vast erudition, the elderly Babaji said courteously, my dear son, you are a great scholar. I am a foolish and wretched soul. You are the resident of the holy dham of our Sachinandana. We are therefore objects of your mercy. How can we instruct you? Kindly share with us some of the purifying narrations of your Gauranga and pacify our burning hearts. As Babaji Maharaj and Vajranath conversed in this way, the other Vaishnavas gradually arose and dispersed to resume their deities. Vajranath said, Babaji Mahasai, Raghunath Das, I was born in a Brahmin family. As a result, I am very proud of my learning. Because of my egoism of high birth and knowledge, I think this earth is within the grip of my hands. I had no idea how to honor the sadhus and great persons. I cannot say by what good fortune I have awakened faith in your character and behavior. I wish to ask you a few questions. Please answer them. Understand that I have not come to you with ulterior motive. Vajranath then asked Babaji Mahasai fervently, kindly instruct me What is the goal of life, Sadhya, and what is the means to attain that goal? To be continued next week. I'm very excited for this. Basically, I've been studying the whole book to get to this part. So I hope those that are listening will continue. Because it'll really, really cover in depth the practices of Krishna consciousness. Would anyone like to say hello?
Hi, Maharaj. This is Stephanie from D.C.
Stephanie, thank you for listening. It was great to be with you. Wonderful. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna. Great. Gail, it was so nice, all those new people coming yesterday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Malati.
It's Malati, and who else? Say hello?
Brajarade.
Brajarade, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Good. Good. Anybody else today? Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Is Varun Bhaktadas?
Govardhan, Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else before I go today? Thank you. One should also do this.